Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, March 1st, 2023. Today we are reading from the big book. We're on page 64, paragraph 2, beginning with, "We did exactly the same thing with our lives," and ends with, "We considered its common manifestations." Today's readers are the 12 steps, Shay D, the 12 traditions, Patty F. Reading the text today and support is Sandy K, Kara L, Betsy H. At the end of the meeting, greeting newcomers, again, the sponsor contact information is Christina M. And the announcements at the end of the hour will be Lois P. Stay to the top of the hour. There's always something great going on. The reference numbers, the share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be February 28th, 2023, is 20004, 20,004. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, Big Book Study share ID number is, when it's to be Wednesday, isn't it, March 1st, 20006, 20,006. That's a 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting from this morning. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'd like to ask Shay D. to read those 12 steps of OA for us today.
Good morning, I'm Melanie. Thank you for your service. I'm Shay D. in California, gratefully recovering. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Shay D. from California. Welcome to service this month. I will now ask Patty F. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Patty F. in Massachusetts. I'm a compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patty F. from Massachusetts. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone immediately. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And this also means the star 1 key function only. And no speaker phones, please, because it does interfere with outside noises. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 64. Paragraph 2, beginning with, we did exactly the same thing with our lives, and ends with, we considered its common manifestations. And I'd like to ask Sandy Kay to please read that paragraph and then share for approximately 3 minutes on her experience with that before we open it to the general public. Thank you. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity to do service. This is Sandy Kay from Florida, recovered compulsive overeater. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup, which caused our failure. Being convinced that self, manifested in various ways, was what had defeated us, we considered its common manifestations. So this is a great chapter, and this is a wonderful paragraph, because it's really simple. It says, the first thing we did was we searched out our flaws. Well, what are they? And the paragraph before said about taking inventory as if it were a store. So I'm just going to list what my flaws are. I'm not going to go into detail. I'm just writing it down. So, for instance, when I first came into program, I was angry at everything and everybody. And so one of my flaws was anger. And how did that manifest itself? It manifested itself in resentment, in self-centeredness, in dishonesty, in all kinds of ways. But I just wrote down my resentments. Who was I resentful at? And then who was I angry at? It's very simple. Someone actually just said a few minutes ago that I'm not getting into the story because the story is the problem. I'm getting into what my flaw is. And as you progress, as I progressed in step 4, I get to reveal more of how that flew up manifested in my life. And I found out later on that a lot of these flaws were threads in the fabric of my entire life. And this allowed me to, working the steps, pull out that thread so my fabric was stronger. And the only reason I do step four is because I want to be healthy. I want to be a better person. It's not an easy step, but you can make it easier rather than harder. Just list it, bullet point, don't live there. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sandy Kay from Florida, for getting us started this morning. Appreciate that. You'll find us on page 64, paragraph 2. We're going to unpack that single paragraph today. Get yourself ready to share. I'm going to open up the lines now for additional comments on that particular paragraph. And although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. We have lots of folks on the line to be able to share. So if you'd give me your first name, the first letter of your last name, and your state, I'll take up a lineup.
Danielle W.
Danielle W.
Deb E. in Israel.
Deb E. Israel.
Serene F. New Hampshire.
Serene F. like Frank or S. like Sam from New Hampshire?
S. like Sam.
Thank you. Thank you, Serene.
Teresa G.
New Jersey.
Teresa G. Jersey.
Deborah G.
Dion R. from Ohio, and Deborah G. That's it. That's what I'm going to take today for this lineup. Okay, so I have Danielle W., Deb E., Serene S. like Sam, Teresa G., Dion R., and Deborah G. We're going to start with you, Danielle. 3 minutes. Start now.
Thank you so much. Good morning. This is Danielle W. from Southern California. And this spoke to me this morning. You know, when I came into the rooms, I was so broken and I had such little self-esteem. But I was so desperate because my life just was not working. I mean, any area that I looked at, it just wasn't working. And so, you know, I did what others told me to do, and everybody said, get a sponsor, do steps. When I got to step four and they started to talk about search out the flaws in our makeup, it was frightening for me at the time because I already felt bad about myself. And so this idea that I'm now going to go and identify everything that was wrong with me, it seemed a bit overwhelming. And what was really helpful for me, and something that my sponsor had said, which you talk a lot about with my sponsees, is often these are survival skills that we have adopted just in order to survive, but they're not serving us anymore. And I could really see that for myself. You know, I had a lot of rage, but as a child, that was almost the only way that I could be seen or heard. I was often in victim stance where I was always assessing and looking to see who was going to harm me next. Well, that doesn't work in my adult life. You know, if I'm rageful at work, well, people aren't going to want to work with me. You know, if I'm rageful with my friends, they're going to distance themselves from me. If I'm always thinking that somebody's going to harm me, I can't get close to anyone. I can't have intimate relationships. And so rather than beat myself up for the flaws in my makeup, I was able to accept that, you know, I was doing the best I could. I really was with what limited resources and support I had. And that those just did not serve me anymore. You know, what may have kept me protected as a young child was just really destroying my ability to live a different life now. And then I was able to have a little bit of compassion for myself. And out of that, I could really start to see that, you know, it really wasn't what other people were doing to me that was causing pain. It was these flaws in my makeup that I was ashamed about and felt bad about. And I didn't have to solve them. If I could have gotten rid of them on my own, I would have. All I had to do was identify them, to be honest about them, to have some vulnerability, and then I could ask my higher power to remove them. And it's magical. Once I see things clearly, once I'm honest about who I am, once I look at those resentments and fears, now I have a loving God that can step in
time.
And thank you and start to change me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Danielle W. from California. Deb E., you're up next for 3 minutes from Israel, and then Serene, you'll follow.
Thank you. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And gravitating towards the last two sentences of paragraph today, I was just thinking of how those two sentences could be applied to the food, and they could also be applied to my character defects. You know, if I apply them to the food, one object is to disclose damaged or unsaleable goods. Like, I need to identify what my binge foods are. I need to identify what food caused that allergy to be triggered, and the obsession to be triggered. And then I have to get rid of them promptly and without regret. They just have to go. There's no, you know, they just have to go. If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. If I want to live a spiritual life and have that connection with a higher power and with others, I can't fool myself into thinking that one day I'll be able to go back to those foods. And then if I look at it in terms of character defects, one object is to disclose damaged or unsaleable goods. I have to just, like, my ego doesn't like this. My ego doesn't want to admit what my character defects are. It wants to think that, like, I can do no wrong and I'm amazing and great. But what I need to do is put my ego aside, find some humility, and just go, this is just, like, in a very matter-of-fact way, these are my character defects. I need to know what they are in order to be able to identify them and then work with them and replace them with spiritual, spiritual action, for lack of a better word. And if the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. And I can say, I can't fool myself into thinking, like, that I don't have character defects, that I'm not a human being and I don't get, you know, irritated by things, and I don't, like, that my character defects don't, like, flare up on a regular basis. I need to be realistic about that. I can't delude myself into thinking that, you know, all of a sudden I'm going to be this perfect human being. These things are going to come up, and I need to apply the steps in order to deal with them and to maintain that level of spirituality. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks. Is anybody there?
Hello there. Yes, hello.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Deb. I appreciate that. And then Serene, you're up next from New Hampshire, then followed by Teresa G.
Okay. Thank you for your service. Serene S. from New Hampshire, recovered compulsive overeater. And I've been through these steps with guidance from you all, but really the work and the message here in step four that, is after that I take step one, step two, and then I do the third step prayer, to look at my skewed vision of the inventory of, like, who I am, who I thought I was, and we get it down in black and white on paper. And this helps me build the muscle, too, for the latter steps. But I have to see the truth about who I am. And when I look at where I got stuck in resentment and where I thought there was power in that, and then I get to see where I was self-seeking, dishonest, afraid, all of those kinds of things that I could see the truth and build the muscle as a result of this, I know that ultimately when I did it, I was not interested in being of maximum service to God, my fellows, and others, and that's what came out of this. Removing things, things that needed to have an expired date on them, and I saw the patterns, and the things that I hung on to that, as others have said, had no value. But in addition to that, they were hurting me and they were hurting others. And I didn't really have consciousness that that would be the outcome. And I learned we're not in the results business, but the results get produced by doing this inventory and then reading them out loud in the next step. And, you know, the stock in trade, I had a hard time translating, like, I'm a business, you know, and I've got to get rid of things, but I am in business and I can understand the concept. And when I took pen to paper, it was interesting because when I did the third step prayer before I wrote, it was almost like the writing took on a life of its own and I could see things that I had never seen before. Like if I was in a pantry and doing an inventory on the very back shelves or tucked away in different places, and I could pull all that stuff out. And I like to think that I could get rid of this stuff, but then in the later steps, we give it to God and we find what's objectionable that we ask God to remove. But I didn't even know what was objectionable because I had been really just repeating the same thing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Serena. And for those that are following along here in the meeting, we are on paragraph 2, page 64 of the big book. Want to join in eventually? We'll open it up for other comments. But in the meantime, I'd like to call Teresa G. to share for 3 minutes, followed by Dion R.
Good morning. This is Teresa C., a compulsive overeater and food addict in recovery for today. I guess when I'm thinking about the fourth step and reading this paragraph, I think my first fourth step many years ago, I really was, you know, of like I think so many others have said, just kind of paralyzed by having to do this fourth step. And so when I did my first fourth step, I just did a column, and I have read that that's an acceptable fourth step, you know, kind of a T-chart, my positives and my negatives, and that was as far as I could go. But right now in, you know, today, having studied the big book and done inventories in more detail, I really see the difference in what it produced in my life and what it was able to change in my life to do this in a much more focused way. I think what I was thinking about this morning as we read that paragraph was, and started to talk about what we do, was just really the incredible, I don't even know what word I want to use, but just how it focuses us first on something that's fairly easy to do, and that's to say who I'm mad at, who hurt me, you know, because that's who I'm resentful at. That isn't really, that at that point, was not a very hard thing for me to do. Let me think about all the grievances that I have. And then, you know, also after that, after I did my resentments, you know, then my fears, okay, that's pretty easy. A little bit harder, you know, like who have I hurt? But not so bad to just put them down. And so that's, for me, a wonderful way to start things in something that's not so hard. And then taking it a little bit further, understanding now how I really do need to identify those things and how helpful it is for me. Because again, the first ones, you know, we can't change the past. We can't change who hurt us. We can't change who we hurt. But if we take a look at our character defects, if you want to call them that, you know, then I get to make some changes because that's what I have control over. You know, the serenity prayer, change the things I can. Those are the things
that would be kind.
And I thank you and I pass.
Thank you very much. That's Teresa C, like colorful, from New Jersey. Next up is Dion R from Ohio, followed by Deborah G, and then I'll take another lineup in about 6 minutes. Hey, Dion.
Hey, Melanie. How are you doing? This is Dion R.
I'm so good to hear you.
How are you all doing? I am from Ohio. I'm very grateful to be a part of the solution today. This part is screaming out to me, just like neon lights. It's just like, first we search out our flaws and our makeup, like most of the shares was on. It's like, I have to look at my flaws. I thought it was my body fat. I thought it was the weight. I thought it was all that. And it's just what caused our failure. And I thought that was really just the size that would change my feelings and how I felt about me and others. But that was just the beginning. I was convinced because everybody just lose a little and I lost the weight and I was so miserable inside. So I'm like, what is wrong with my inside? I'm still very angry. I would bend on rage. I would bend on revenge, whatever. It was just like, I'm still not satisfied with my life and my inside, if that makes sense, which is my feeling. So this part of doing an inventory, writing it down, it still works wonders for me. I saw it manifest in other people's lives that came after me and before me. And the difference is they were working a step. I'm like, what am I doing with this? That I don't get it. But the gift is knowing, taking it step by step, paragraph by paragraph, whatever way it is. And for me, that's a lifelong process to get rid of anything. Inventory. Take out, where's your flaws? And it's usually not that person. It's just the way I react to things. And even when I think it's justifiable, a lot of times, I still, as they say, it's a problem. Is it me? There's no solution because I got a deep within. Where am I being selfish? Self-centered, dishonest, and fight. I didn't know that in the beginning. Why am I judging my insides by what I see or you on the outside? Or vice versa? But regardless, and being able to stand in my own truth, my own manifestation, whoever I am today, it's because of these 12 steps that my higher power blessed me with and for it. Got my butt down several years and overeaters anonymous, where today I can sit, listen, like they say, take the cotton out of my mouth, my ear, and put it in my mouth sometimes. So I can listen, and learn. And I'm not having a ride. Don't want to ride down here. But I am making much more progress. And I have much more peace with myself and others. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you all for allowing me to be a part of the solution. And thank you, Melody.
Thank you so much. You too. Thanks, Deanna from Ohio. Next up is Deborah G. from Arizona. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Melanie. Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you so much for your service this morning, Melanie, and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And thank you for all the shares 12-step in me today. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're on the line. This is a cool place to be. I just love this meeting. And yes, you know that self. It's always about me, you know, and what I discovered in doing the inventory was it was all about those self beliefs that I thought were reality, which weren't reality, but I couldn't see that. I lived like that for so long that I couldn't see it. It was so ingrained in my brain, you know, and it wasn't until I did the work with the fourth step column, I saw the perceived roles that I had about myself, you know, that victim martyr posture and, you know, just all that stuff that I learned growing up and thought I experienced and didn't know the truth from the false. And it wasn't until being real open-minded, honest and willing, because I had another person doing this with me to help me. I had that beautiful divine loving presence that I could invite into that experience so I could see reality. What is it in the book? See, I couldn't see the forest for the trees or something like that, where I couldn't see. I was awake, unconscious. And then when doing that work, it woke me up. It brought me to a place, and I'm so grateful for the freedom that does, because now when that crops up, because it does still crop up, I just keep doing the work. I just keep doing the work. But today I can see it more clearly and talking about it and getting free of it so that I don't have to go into food. I don't want to live in the food. I have to clear away these obstacles and get back in alignment, back connected with my source, that beautiful divine loving presence, and be in that place and helping other people, getting out of that self and being other-centered than self-centered and helping other people instead of going to the food. Okay, thank you so much. You all have a beautiful, blessed day.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. You'll find us page 64, paragraph 1. Page 64, paragraph 2, unpacking that single paragraph. I'd like to open up the lines for additional comments and experience on that particular paragraph. And please, we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience too. I'm ready for a lineup of first name, first initial, and state.
Marie M.
Marie M.
California.
Who from California? I didn't hear the person from California. Cynthia, is that what you said?
Sophia, S-O-P-H.
Okay, got it now. Thank you. From California. Thank you. Anyone else want to share this morning? Okay, let's go with that lineup because time's a-burning. I got Marie M. and Sophia M. You're up first, Marie. 3 minutes.
Great, thank you. Hello, everyone. Welcome to you newcomers. So glad that you're here. The fourth step for me, I took many years ago initially, and I just remember having pages and pages of things, of resentments and fears, and talking to my sponsor about them. And then, but I think back over those pages and pages of resentments. One of the things I missed in that initial inventory was my part, the patterns that I had. Fast forward, I was out of program for about 8 years. I came back a few years ago and started another step 4. And I remember thinking, oh, I'll have one or two resentments, you know, in 8 years. There's nothing really there. And I ended up having 13. And talking it over with my sponsor, this time I was able to look at my patterns. And my particular pattern was wanting people to do what I wanted them to do. I'm extremely, my character flaw is self-seeking. I seek my own worth through the actions of others. I seek their approval for my life. And just seeing it all there, I never connected the dots before, but it was so life-changing. And, I do step 10s every day, and I watch myself. You know, if someone's not doing what I think they should do, I can now recognize that character defect, ask God to please remove it, and go and help someone else. But I will say, step 4, I wasn't afraid to start it at all. I was desperate to start, and it's life-changing. It could be a little scary. It wasn't for me, but it has been for so many other people. But most people will tell you, for me, it was the step that got everything going. And I could not have had recovery without cleaning up my side of the street. And it all begins with just putting it all down. At this point, you're not sharing it with anyone. No one sees it but you. Just write it all down. And that's what I did. I welcome all of you here, and anyone who's on the fence about a fourth step, you know, just please do it. It's just you, pen and paper at this point. And I wish you all a blessed day. I'm Marie B. from Texas, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Marie B. from Texas. Next up is Sophia M. from California, and then we're going to open it up for at least three more people to share on that paragraph. Hey, Sophia.
Hi, good morning. Sophia M. From California. Thank you so much for this beautiful group. I'm calling in wanting to share because my sponsor told me to. Didn't want to, but I am. I'm very much a newcomer, and I have this beautiful, overwhelming support from all of you beautiful people who did call in last week. I just want to say a big thank you to those that did reach out. I was just been a bit overwhelmed by this entire process, being a newcomer, and I'm not on step four. I'm not nearly there. I'm on step one right now. So even though I'm familiar with it and the 12 steps in general, I am just understanding right now how selfish, I have been in my life, and self-seeking, you know, just goes so hand in hand with this disease. And that being said, not to pardon my own behavior, I still, though, at the same time, am also a good person, you know, and I also view myself as someone who it's like, well, why does everybody come to me for their problems, you know? And it's not about being feeling a victim in that. I'm so grateful that I have that ability to make other people feel good. But it's really understanding that I've really given so much a part of my energy towards others and helping them just the majority of my adult life, also probably when I was a kid. And my sponsor keeps saying, you know, like, you can't, the plane's going down and you have to put the oxygen mask on you first before you can help other people. And I've almost viewed, it just sounds so ridiculous, but I almost view like working on myself and getting better as being selfish. I know it sounds ridiculous and it's almost probably a part of the same disease, but that's where my obsession of mine goes too. It's almost like I'm trying to rid myself of so much ego and self-seeking anything, just taking, getting rid of the self that I want to almost just be through all the steps so I can just get to step 12 and be of service. And it's like, but you don't even know what this disease is about. You have no idea. And I really, thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Sophia M. from California. There is time for at least three more people to share today. If you're interested, I'd like to take your name, the first initial of your last name, and your state, please.
Elaine B.
from Oregon.
Elaine B. And somebody from Oregon?
Jackie P. from Oregon.
Jackie P. Okay.
And Lorraine W. from Massachusetts.
Lorraine W. Mass. Okay, that will take us to the top of the hour, I think, before we need to transition. So let's go with that and see what happens. Elaine, you're first, followed by Jackie.
Thank you so much for your service, Melanie, and thank you so much for these important instructions. Now, if you are new here, we're just venturing into what is this going to look like? You know, what are we going to do? I remember hearing somebody say, it's like taking out the trash can that is your life and keeping those things that are worth keeping. But first we have to, you know, discover and discard the things that aren't working. You know, I came in because of the food, but I have learned that it's not so much what I'm eating, it's what's eating me. It's what is eating me that causes me to go to the food, to stuff down the feelings, to you know, find my ease and comfort, because I didn't know another way to manage it. So But it wasn't just the food I came to discover that was really my problem. It was my you know, wanting to run the show, like reading about the director. If everybody would, and everything would just follow my way, life would be grand. Everybody would be happy. And that's not necessarily true, because in doing so, I step on the toes of my fellows and they retaliate. And there I am in the dumps again. So I get to look out the flaws in my makeup, which caused my failure. Now, it may have been that I was looking for food for ease and comfort. I was allowing myself to set up the phenomena of craving and the mental obsession over and over and over again by going back to the wrong place, to the wrong solution, to the right and very real problem. So here I am looking at the right and the very real problem of what is driving me to the food. What are the things in me that keep me defeated, that keep manifesting? You know, is it that I'm looking for approval? Is it if I'm thinking that if I can get this boss to like me or that title or this whatever, I don't know how many board meetings I sat in with a hot, red hot, you know, candy clacking around in my mouth because I couldn't show up without that extra bonus of, you know, something sweet to get me through it. But I didn't know I could live without that until I did these steps. I didn't know there was a way to discard and find another way. And here we are. We're searching for those things that hold us back, that bring us down, that drive us to seek ease and comfort outside of God. We're building, we're not even really at the place we've turned our will and our lives over to the care of God. We've utterly abandoned ourselves to God. And now it's time to take inventory and really get to work and let God do for us what we can't do for ourselves. But first we have to see what can't I do for myself above and beyond the food? What can't I do to manage my life? What can't I do? Thank you. I will pass with that.
Thank you very much, Elaine B. from Massachusetts. Pardon me. Next up is Jackie P. from Oregon for 3 minutes, followed by Lorene.
Hi, this is Jackie P. from Oregon. Thank you all for your service. For me, I think the most profound four step I did was the very first one several years ago. My first sponsor in the program really helped me to understand how to do that fourth column and see where the flaws in my makeup are causing all of the problems in my life. And that just created profound change in my life because, I mean, for all these years that I've been on OA, because I can look at a resentment that I have and I can see exactly what my character defect is. And when I can do that, then I have freedom to be able to heal. And that has been a long process of healing, starting with the first time, and then I've done four steps many times over the years, and I use this regularly for my 10th step, where I look at my part. And it is amazing that my part, there's so many themes and they repeat themselves. I mean, some things get healed, you know, when they are removed, but I guess some of the maybe deep character defaults or defects can crop up from time to time and I have to turn them over again. But this is really, that fourth column just leads to so much healing. It has for me anyway. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Jackie P. from Oregon. Next up is Lorene W. from Massachusetts for 3 minutes.
Hi, this is Lorene W. from Massachusetts. I have done a thorough fourth step in the past with my step study sponsor using the big book. And now we're going through it again. And I had four resentments. But one of the biggest resentments I have is towards myself, because I still have these character defects that get in the way of my progress in not turning things over to God to putting my head and hands into an action. And that has brought me down to my knees. there's a sentence here that really hit me. And it starts with, sometimes they hurt us seemingly without provocation, but have made decisions based on self-will, self, which later placed on a position to be hurt. And that's what happened to me. You know, that I've been hurt, and I feel as though I'm stuck in a position that I will be hurt again. And I can't afford that any longer. I need to let go and let God. But in doing this process, I need to know where I step out and where I can do other interventions that may be helpful to both me and the other person. And this is where I know my sponsor will have suggestions for me and helpful. And I am thoroughly pleased that she was willing to go through this again with me, because lately it's happened more than once with more than one person. And I need that kind of assistance at this time. And I thank you all for Visions for You, because it has been such a change in my recovery today. And I know that people in my life aren't there to hurt me. They're there because God wants them in my recovery. So thank you for letting me share today. And I pass.
Thank you very much. Lorene W. from Massachusetts. It looks like we might have time for about a one-minute share. I know that's kind of tight, but would somebody like to take that, or should we transition?
Don D.
Okay, Don D., you got it. 60 seconds.
Christine C.G.
Oh, hey, Christine. Looks like Don jumped in just a moment before you, but thanks.
I'll come back tomorrow. Thanks.
Hi, this is Don D. I'm from Florida, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm on step four now, and I've done step four before, and now I had to do it over again because I picked up. But I feel that the step four has given me a lot of healing. When I write, you know, I feel like I'm being healed inside about it. So when I do, I just work closely with my sponsor about it and share and write and do what I need to do. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much. Perfect timing, Don. Appreciate that. Okay, we're going to be wrapping up the recorded portion of our meeting and moving on to the last 10 minutes. So don't go anywhere. We still have wonderful, good, fun-packed things to do here before the top of the hour. Thank you all that shared today. And we will now close with a reading from page 164, and we'll follow that with a serenity prayer before we transition to newcomers. I would like to ask Kara L. to please read. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. This is Kara, Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.